Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name? Buried in cheers and applause? Unlikely. You know, I dig cars. I've done a bunch of episodes that prominently feature cars, like episode 187, Danger Experts, or Neon in the Desert Night, where I met this fabulous, mysterious woman at the wheel of a vintage T-Bird. That's bonus episode 17. I've had some great adventures that involved cars. I still do some car DIY stuff, but some years ago I stopped doing tire rotations, mostly because a trusted friend turned me on to this local tire joint. It's kind of an anomaly in this world of corporate thieves. And trust me, if you're having your car serviced by any corporate entity, you're getting fucked. First time I went to this anomaly, I needed a fresh set of tires, and it's in a crappier part of the San Fernando Valley. It's a throwback to another age. The place looks like a chaotic dump. There are cars splayed all around the parking lot, each paired with massive wheeled floor jacks. Probably 24 of those scattered around. Snaking through that mess are several long red rubber hoses that provide air for the drills. And inside the tiny garage, which does not have a hydraulic lift, there are 2 bead breakers, 2 wheel balancing machines, and a leak detection tub. The floor is an inch deep in grease, old valve stems, and busted balancing weights. But despite the perceived confusion, the place operates with remarkable efficiency. Many times I've gotten in and out with a new set of tires in fewer than 10 minutes. These days, that's incredible, due to corporate outfits and their policies and processes. 2 scam words that should begin with F, because when you hear them, you're going to get fucked. More on those words in a little bit. The place has not much of an office. It's really just a counter with 2 or 3 guys behind it, including the owner, Sam, who founded the business God knows how long ago. On the counter are phones with a layer of grime thick enough to provide Faraday cage shielding. On the wall behind the counter is a collage of ads for Dubs and Koenigs, a framed first dollar, and another framed paper proclaiming, "In God we trust, all others pay cash." Way off to the side, almost in the shadows, is a Pirelli calendar from 1984. It's tattered and yellowed, and the page edges curl. Few people notice it, and even fewer realize what it was and what it has become in our new, rigid, sanitized, gender-neutral, politically corrected, fucked-up world. Of course, Pirelli tires were founded in Italy, and Italy, unlike some uptight nations and their uptight cultures, has an appreciation for beauty, especially beautiful women. Ironically, few things could be less beautiful than a tire. They have no aesthetic. It's purely utilitarian. Function dictates the form. The only nod to cosmetics might be a white wall or raised letters, maybe low profile for a sports car, stuff like that. But leave it to the Italians to conflate tires and sex and do it with class. One of many summer jobs I did was hanging tires and shocks on cars. The place I worked at was a huge discount department store that also sold tires and shocks, and I think it was between sophomore and junior years. Maybe that's another reason I don't like doing tire rotations. It was a bitch of a job. Hard, dirty work, and the dirtiest part was the rubber dust. You might not assume rubber makes dust, but it does. For that entire summer, every time I blew my nose, the snot was coal black. Worst of all, there was no Pirelli calendar there. Pirelli calendars were not for sale, never have been. They are promotional gifts for their distributors, printed in limited runs. Some coveted originals now sell for thousands on eBay. And they were a quantum leap above other girly calendars. They were shot by the best photographers on earth who were paid a ton of money to get it right, to make it special and different, and most of all, artful. Once upon a time, every Grease Monkey's garage had a Playboy or Penthouse calendar, but Pirelli's were special. Hefner and Guccione's calendars would feature good-looking women who needed a paycheck and posed nude. Once in a while, they used celebrities, but it was always considered a downward step in their career trajectory. Some actress would appear in Playboy and people would assume her career was flagging, and it was an attempt to resuscitate it. But many of the Pirelli girls were supermodels. They didn't have to be coaxed into posing, often nude. They leapt at the opportunity for a myriad of reasons, the least of which were the money and the exotic locations. It was because Pirelli calendars were never considered porn. They were considered art. And they were. There was zero sleaze factor. Perhaps the most famous of all, the zenith of their creative prowess, was the 1984 edition. Since cars were first built, manufacturers have been using beautiful women to sell them. And the zillions of products associated with cars, from spark plugs to gaskets. They'd simply drape some pointy chick over the hood or have her hold the product with her lacquered fingertips and presto, the carburetor became sexy. But still, it was borrowed interest. You had to connect the dots from product to girl. That 1984 Pirelli calendar was so damn clever, it made the models one with the product. Pirelli's have a very distinctive tread pattern. I might describe it as vertical rhomboids, and they managed to integrate that pattern in 13 different world-class images of 13 world-class gorgeous women. I'll post a few, along with a link to the full calendar, on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. You'll see what I mean, and you'll be amazed. For a very long time, the automotive world was a man's world. If a woman walked solo into a car dealership, they'd ask where her husband was. Of course, that's changed. But for the DIY crowd, automotive maintenance still is a man's world. I don't know any women who work on cars. Of course, they exist, but I've yet to meet one. But even the automotive maintenance business has been gender-neutralized and sanitized and corporatized, and now, with very few exceptions, it's as boring as a visit to a goddamn mattress store. All the good stuff, the pneumatic drills, the bead breakers, the hydraulic lifts, those red metal chests with 3 dozen drawers and thousands of ratchets and spanners, and that glorious smell of motor oil and gasoline, and the cacophony of car repair, it's all behind a wall somewhere, while you sit in a Band-Aid beige waiting area with Wi-Fi and a Keurig coffee maker and non-dairy creamer and sugar substitutes and a flat screen on the wall playing The Ellen DeGeneres Show. First time I visited Sam's Place of Chaos, I was shocked by how low the prices were and the off-brands. Sam said he'd be happy to sell me Goodyears and Coopers if paying for their bullshit marketing made me feel better. He was offering the same warranty as the name brands did, so I tried them. I never had a problem with them, but once. As I drove home from the install, I noticed a slight scraping sound from the rear wheel. When I got home, I jacked it up, and sure enough, the tire had a very slight flaw on the sidewall. I was rubbing the fender. The next day I went back. As I drove there, I was girding myself for battle stations, you know. Few merchants like refunds or replacements. I was expecting some argument. Your wheel isn't properly aligned, or Your fender is off kilter, some shit like that. When I drove in, I told Sam the left rear tire was out of round and was rubbing the fender. He turned to one of his guys and said, Tony, put a new tire on that left rear wheel. Chop, chop. No argument. No pushback. No bullshit. No paperwork. No database. Sam does not know my last name or phone number or address or email address. And he does not need them because he's a smart goddamn businessman. At that moment, when he replaced that tire with zero hassle, he made a customer for life. I've recommended him to many, many people. He's made thousands of dollars off me and tens of thousands from my referrals. Had he given me static about that defective tire, not only would I have never returned, I'd have badmouthed him to the world. Sam's place is always crowded. I'm certain Sam is very, very wealthy. And with every set you buy from Sam, you get free rotations for the life of the tires. A couple of weeks ago, I checked the log on the family fun wagon, found it was due for a rotation, but I was kind of pressed for time. I didn't have the time to drive to Sam's shop, so I happened to be passing a corporate tire place. There are dozens of their stores all over Southern California. Each one of them takes up most of the block. They have 6, maybe 8 gleaming bays. And of course, they claim to do all kinds of other stuff. Transmissions, front-end work, so on. That's never a good sign. They're not doing transmissions there. They're subcontracting to someone you'll never meet and slapping a fat commission on the other guy's price. But the place was empty, and I had 10 minutes to spare, and I figured it won't be free, but it will save time. So I pull in, walk through the glass doors into the office. There's the designer coffee machine. There's the waiting chairs in Band-Aid beige, and sure as fuck, Ellen's on the TV. There was no Pirelli calendar on the wall. Some guy wearing a spiffy and way too clean uniform is behind the register and cheerfully asks if he can help me. I ask him how much for a rotation. He tells me $20. I say, okay, but I'm in a hurry, so please have your guy put the speed on, okay? He says, no problem. Takes my keys, hands them to another dude, also with a way-too-clean uniform. Then office guy fires up his computer and asks for my name. I tell him he doesn't need my info. I'm paying cash, and I hand him $20. Well, I can see that through him. You see, we've all been conditioned by countless entities, corporations and schools and governments, to give information they're not fucking entitled to. Especially because we're paying them, not the other way around. So the guy shakes his head because he's been trained to get customer information, and I'm not cooperating. I'm not adhering to the script the masses do, like Pavlovian dogs. And now he says, but if you don't give me your information, you won't be eligible for the warranty. And I laugh out loud and ask him, exactly how do you warranty a rotation? And he says, well, if something goes wrong. Like what? If mischievous dwarves unrotate them tonight while I sleep? Now he makes a face. He does not find me funny. I ask him if I look like a soccer mom from Encino. He had no idea what I meant. I walk out of the shop where some chooch has just driven my car onto a lift. I watch it rise and rise and rise, and I'm thinking, why so much altitude? Those wheels are damn heavy. All you need is a half-inch clearance off the floor, and it virtually eliminates heavy lifting. Then he gets under my car with a drop light, and I ask him what he's doing, and he says, an inspection. The tires had just turned 15,000 miles. They're almost new. I tell him, hey, I'm in a hurry. I don't want an inspection, okay? I just want a rotation, nothing else. He ignores me and starts fingering the tread like some cop on CSI. Again, I ask him what he's doing. His answer, I'm checking to see if these tires are even rotatable. Well, at that, I exploded. At the top of my lungs, I told him to get my car the fuck down off that rack right now. He literally recoiled, like I punched him. I stormed back into the office where a female customer was about to be interrogated by the data miner. I was still rip shit. Open that cash register and give me my money back, now. Well, he opened it quick, handed me the money, asked me what the problem was. I asked him what part of I'm in a hurry he did not understand. Warranties? Rotatable tires? I asked him if his regular customers were all morons. As I plowed back outside, the woman was almost sucked along behind me in the draft as I left. I heard the guy say something about our policy or our process. It matters not. The words are interchangeable. The process or policy is to take advantage of people who are absolutely clueless about automobiles, do an inspection, finger quotes, and then try to extract as much money from you for work that was never needed. It's been going on forever. And the people they probably squeeze the most money out of are women, because few women give a shit about how a car works. They only care that it does work, and most importantly, safely. So thieving mechanics, I'm sorry, they now call themselves service technicians. They always go heavy on the safety of whatever their phony diagnosis is. A while back, I visited some relatives in the East, and an older aunt complained that a funny noise was coming from her almost new Acura. My brother-in-law, also a car guy, his old man had owned a dealership, so he knew all the angles. We both went outside and had a look and quickly determined it was a busted muffler hanger, a part that cost maybe 50 cents and would take 2 minutes to replace. She heads off to the nearest service station. We gave her explicit instructions, ask them in advance how much to replace a muffler hanger, and if they answer more than 50 bucks, leave. If they claim the car needs any other work, leave. Over 2 hours later, our aunt returned. She told us that a, quote, certified mechanic, unquote, discovered there was a much more serious problem than a muffler hanger. He had replaced most of the exhaust system. The bill was into four figures. My brother-in-law and I were ballistic. We demanded the keys so we could go back and make that scumbag rip out his shit and put the original system back in or give her a full refund. Well, of course, she didn't want to make waves, but moreover, she believed a stranger, some asshole thief douchebag of a stranger, more than her own family. As we argued with her, she kept saying, "But he was certified." Dave and I were not certified. Each time I visit Sam's for a rotation or a new set of tires, I wonder if his place will still be there. He's getting up there in years. The business is an absolute goldmine, and he keeps his overhead minimal. His crew does not wear spiffy uniforms with their names embroidered over the pockets. They are not called service technicians. He has no database. He has no marketing costs. His marketing is the original and the best marketing. Word of mouth. I've no doubt Sam could buy a hell of a yacht and spend the rest of his days cruising jet-set haunts. But over the years, I've noticed something. He's rarely in that grimy office. He's usually outside, kibitzing with the customers, cracking wise with guys like me, telling jokes that, in some parts of the world, might get somebody jail time. Sam has cars in his blood. He likes the crunch of those valve stems underfoot. He likes the sound of a dropped tire iron and tightening lug nuts. He likes the smell of oil and rubber. He likes his 1984 Pirelli calendar, the one with the flawless women. He's a car guy, and being a car guy is a guy thing. It always will be. Some people would not even venture into the neighborhood to Sam's, and if they did, once they laid eyes on the place, they'd do a fast U-turn. Some would be off-put by the grime, the lack of a sterile waiting area with Wi-Fi and designer coffee and non-dairy creamer and Stevia and Ellen. Lots of people would feel like something was amiss when they were not interrogated to have their information input into a database. And oh, that Pirelli calendar, how offensive. Beautiful women in beautiful places, and some of them nude?
Tear it down. A sick symbol of the patriarchy.
Regrettably, Pirelli has caved to the orthodoxy of the new matriarchy. About 10 years ago, the nudes pretty much went away. Now they just look like any images for a perfume or couture ad or whatever. Lots of heroin chic and look at me, aren't I edgy and out there kind of art direction. The new aesthetic. They look great right above the Keurig coffee maker in that Band-Aid beige waiting room. Nothing offensive about them. Nothing remotely interesting about them, either. Processed art. Conforming to policies. How awful. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, why not help me keep the show going? Go to thatlarryshow.com and click the Patreon button. When you do, it unlocks a world of additional episodes, as well as signed books, custom recordings of your choice, and the fellowship of other members of the Take No Shit Dojo, from whence this show emanates each week. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Between episodes, have fun with us and follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you'll now find a full archive of every magnificent Pirelli caliber thumbnail, so you can pick out any show you like. I'll see you next week, Tuesday, or more likely Wednesday, it seems, of late. And until that time, hold your position in the culture wars, yield no territory, and take no shit.